Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BacksportsPage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live with my co-host, T. Actually, Tons won't be joining us today. We do have his picks for everyone who will be interested, so I will read them off to you later. But we're strictly fantasy football today, and that's good because for most leagues, this will be the second and most likely semifinal week of the fantasy playoffs. So if you're listening, we will both assume that you made it this far. Congratulations for that. But there's still plenty of work to do because, of course, nobody remembers the guy who came in second place in the fantasy league. So, as always, we'll keep you updated, we'll keep you informed, let you know about the best matchups for each week, since that is what the playoffs are all about. And let's not forget, as I mentioned, stick around, I'll read off Khan's picks. He did go, again, keeps winning, 5-2 last week, so he ups his already impressive record to 45-29 on the season. So we have a bunch of big matchups with real-life playoff implications as well. So stick around. We'll read off his picks at around 10 after 8 tonight. But let's get started. And as we discussed, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846. Or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, first games starting tonight. A lot of fantasy talent. Of course, Chargers at Broncos. This week is actually kind of cool because it has a really good Thursday night game and a lot of good Monday night players as well. So a lot of games, these games are going to be watched obviously closely by owners, and I'm assuming a lot of teams, of course there's a lot of teams who have players involved in these games, but anyone from the Broncos offense, of course the Chargers too. We have, for the Chargers, it's tough to make of what do we do with this running back situation. Again, we've been talking about it all year. Ryan Matthews last week had a season-high 29 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown. It was against the Giants, but he also added 3 catches, 33 yards. Now, Woodhead's still involved, 7 carries, 42 yards, and 4 catches for 52. But it just they're giving a lot more of the work to Ryan Matthews, and that was obviously the question, the biggest question between these two guys. So, I mean, we said it over and over, PPR is the time to officially put Matthews ahead of Woodhead.
I'm not sure. I mean, Danny Woodhead is definitely still involved in the passing game. I think he actually scored on a reception last week, too.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I mean, chances are you don't own both of these guys, so, I mean, I think both these guys are definitely still flex-worthy if your league is PPR. I mean, you know, Matthew's getting enough of the rushing work, and Woodhead is still involved enough in the passing game where I think, you know, they're both viable options.
In a non-PPR, I don't think it's even close. Then you obviously put Matthews ahead of him. But, of course, we like to stick with PPR matchups. I actually like, I mean, he did all right last week, too, but Phillip Rivers, another good matchup here. I was thinking, would you start, and obviously we're in the playoffs now, and you've ridden Phillip Rivers this far, or perhaps, you know, you even had him on your bench as a free agent pickup, but would you start him over this week over someone like Cam Newton, who's going against the Jets? It's a much better defense than the Denver defense. I mean, who would you rather? Who
did you say it? You said it because you know it's the exact situation I have. Or
I didn't even know that. No, right. I was trying to find something that's pretty even.
I'm starting Newton. Newton's been on fire. I mean, except for a tough matchup last week, Newton's been absolutely on fire, and the Jets are better on paper than they are a fantasy defense. They're really, really vulnerable against the pass. And they just got torched by the Jets last week. Rashard Jennings last week. So, or no, Marcel Reese.
Even worse. Yeah. But whatever. It actually just flashed on the screen. I didn't know that Phillip Rivers led the NFL in completion percentage this year. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, I think Rivers is the first guy in that second tier of quarterbacks. But I think, I think he's definitely ahead of, the swamping Andrew Luck. I would probably put him ahead of Tony Romo this week.
For all of you listening into Monday Morning Hangover for your updated injury news, up to the minute, Keenan Allen will play. start him tonight. He's by far been the best fantasy, probably the best offensive player in general, rookie-wise. Ladarius Green, zero catches on only one target. Gates is still the number one guy there. He's not someone you can rely on. He'd be huge for – I mean, he's a guy I really like, another sleeper I really like going forward next year for tight ends, but can't count on him now. Wes Welker ruled out – officially out with a concussion, so he won't play tonight. Bump up Eric Decker, bump up Demaryius Thomas. I figured you're starting them anyway. Julius Thomas as well. Yeah, you're probably starting all three of those anyway, but get Wes Welker out of your lineups. And just worth mentioning, Monty Ball last week, he's clearly established himself as a number two guy here. 15 carries, 77 yards, and a touchdown. And now, over the last two games, has 28 carries to Moreno's 29. So he's getting almost as much work as him, not as much out of the backfield, but still, and if he keeps getting goal line carries, this hurts Moreno more than it helps Ball, because obviously you don't want to count on Monty Ball, especially this late in the season in the fantasy playoffs. But I think if in a closer game, I think the Chargers division game here, I think they'll keep it close. You got to get most of the work to know Sean as long as he stays healthy. But Monty Ball is one of those guys, kind of like Joyke Bell, where you have to have him. I mean, this is the first full season that No'Shawn Moreno has ever played, so I'd rather have Monty Ball on my bench than a lower end running back. Willis McGahee, just for example, I'd rather have Monty Ball than Ryan Matthews. I mean, there's chances are you're not starting Ryan Matthews.
Anyone that you're not going to start over the next 2 weeks, regardless of, unless you have an injury on your fantasy team, I'd rather have Ball on.
Right. If No'Shawn gets hurt, you could safely say that Ball is a top 10 running back.
Yeah, like I said, we've talked about this before. Anyone on your bench, any handcuff on your bench that could be a top guy, keep on your bench over guys that are not going to start for you for the rest of the year. You can't sit there and assume that somebody's going to get hurt. First of all, I'm assuming that you have more than three running backs on your bench anyway. But like, for instance, I forget who I picked up this past week. Oh, I picked up the Baltimore defense. Just because I didn't like who did Kansas City play last week? Washington.
Washington.
But Baltimore played.
You're looking for Baltimore. I got it right here.
They had a really good
Minnesota.
Backup.
Minnesota. Yeah, that's why Rice had a decent game.
Yeah, so I picked up Baltimore to play over Minnesota, rather than Kansas City playing against Washington, because Kansas City hadn't been that good lately. It didn't turn out to be a good play. But I dropped Andre Ellington instead of Bryce Brown because Andre Ellington was not going to play for me for the rest of the year anyway. So what's the difference that if McCoy gets hurt, then Brown is a top 10 guy?
Exactly. Bears and Browns. Jay Cutler officially named starter again. So, huge groan from anyone who owned Josh McCown the past few weeks. He has been really good. But let's not forget that Jay Cutler was also really good in the beginning of the year. And this offensively improved team, it doesn't hurt that Alshon Jeffries, clearly he's emerged as a number one wide receiver here, over 300 yards receiving his last two games alone, now has 100 total yards or a touchdown in 8 of his last 9. So he's putting up no bad performances at all. You have to assume, since Brandon Marshall is the bigger name, probably still the better talent, that Joe Hayden's going to be covering Marshall. He might be switching back and forth. But either way, you're starting both these guys. Well, it's normally not worth mentioning that Willis McGahee with a concussion is questionable for this game because you don't want to start any Browns running back. But that's just how bad the Bears' rushing defense has been, or their defense in general. Because if Willis McGahee's out, then Chris Obunnaya becomes the clear number one guy going against this defense that have allowed 150-plus yards in 4 straight games, and within those games also 4 total touchdowns. So Obunnaya, especially in a PPR, I mean, he already holds some value, mostly during bye weeks, but if McGahee gets hurt, Obunnaya is going to take pretty much all the carries, and it's something where, if you had him, if you're relying on Maurice Jones-Drew, who we'll talk about in a little bit, if, say, he doesn't play, something like that, Obunnaya is a guy I think you should pick up.
Yeah, I mean, OpenEye also, especially in PPR leagues, has a lot more potential than Willis McGahee. I wouldn't be rushing to start Willis McGahee against this Bears defense. But OpenEye, if he was starting, I would definitely.
If both of these guys play, you're not starting either one of them.
Right.
No question. Josh Gordon, this guy's been phenomenal. At least 125-plus yards with a touchdown in 5 of his last 6 games. This is incredible. Over the last 3 of them, he's had 31 catches for an NFL record, 650 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's just absolutely incredible. Now he's doing it with the third-string quarterback, as we mentioned before, his third quarterback of the season. So
he also has a pretty good chance to break your boy's single-season receiving mark just set last year.
Yeah, and he hasn't played in 2 games.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think he's going to do it.
He only needs 407 in 3 games.
How much do we know how far behind Calvin is this year? It's not like, I mean, Calvin did miss 1 game too, but still, they got to be fairly close.
Yeah, I think he's like 6 yards behind them.
When was I guess I could look it up now. When was the Browns bye? They didn't include that in the suspension, did they? Oh, no.
No, he was only suspended for 2 games. No one has a bye.
No, yeah. I'm thinking 4, like Blackman. But anyway, so, yeah, he's just been phenomenal. And arguably, he's going to win a lot of teams. He could potentially win a lot of teams their league. He's going to be in consideration for fantasy MVP at the end of the season at this rate.
Calvin's 50 yards behind him, 49 to be exact.
And he played one last game. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Jordan Cameron made a reemerge onto the scene, caught all 9 of his targets for 121 yards and a touchdown, which is good. His first good game under his first any game, not a decent game even, under Jason Campbell. If you held on to him, congratulations. Move on to a little less relevant of a game. Bills Jaguars.
I just want to add one thing to that. It's going to be interesting to see who Joe Hayden lines up against, Marshall or Jeffrey, because one of them is going to take a real big dip in production. I would assume that it's Marshall, but I guess there's really nothing you can.
Yeah, unless he switches back and forth.
Yeah, I'm saying there's nothing you could do about it once the game starts, but it's just an interesting, Jeffrey has emerged to that point where they put Hayden on Jeffrey. It's not inconceivable.
Bills at Jaguars, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller, they go against the Jacksonville run defense. They've gotten significantly better over the course of the year. They haven't allowed a running back to over 75 yards rushing in 5 straight games now. So that's just, and now, you get the timeshare with the Buffalo running back. Kind of a tricky situation there. You can't really count on anyone from the Bills' offense anymore. If you had to, I would go with CJ Spill over Fred Jackson at this point.
Yeah, you have
to. In the fantasy playoffs, he just has that big play potential. By the way, it's worth mentioning. CJ Spiller, neither one of these guys had a good game last week. CJ Spiller had, I forgot the exact yardage, was an 85. I would have made the playoffs in my league if that had counted. Either way, it was negated by a holding penalty, a long touchdown run by Spiller. That's why you're starting him, for that big play potential that Fred Jackson somewhat lacks. Maurice Jones, too, is coming off his best game of the season, and now he's actually been fairly reliable. Has a touchdown or 100-plus total yards in 7 of his last 8. So.
Yeah, against the defense that Bobby Rainey tore up last week. What did Bobby Rainey have, 127 yards or something like that and a touchdown?
Against the Bills, you mean?
Yeah.
The big thing is, if he's healthy, he actually, they're holding, he hasn't practiced all week, but they're holding him out on purpose just so he can rest his injured hamstring. He's one of those guys, veteran player, doesn't really need the practice.
Out MJD, it doesn't concern me, as much as other guys. Like, Toby Gerhardt did not practice today. That concerns me, the fact that he's a backup, making his first start in a long time. But MJD being held out, he's probably going to be limited tomorrow on playoffs on that. I won't worry about it.
Yeah, it's weird that we've come to this point where, if he was healthy, he'd be a top 15 play this week after a lot of experts have ruled him out considerably early in the season when they claimed he wasn't looking as good as he has in past years. But good matchup here, and also for the next 2 weeks, Tennessee and Indiana. Indianapolis. So someone you want to hold to, I would pick up Jordan Tomlin. Wouldn't be a terrible play if Maurice Jones-Drew was ruled out. He's pretty much all they have left at running back. Tomlin, he did he did okay in relief of Jones-Drew last week as well.
Oh, yeah, I think he scored on a reception as well.
That's only if you're desperate, though. Cecil Shorts also questionable this week, so he's not practicing along with Jones-Drew. He has played well, has a touchdown each of his last two games. Obviously monitor his progress. We won't know until later on in the week. But he's also been good, someone you can count on in the fantasy playoffs. We move on. Seattle at New York. Now, Russell Wilson has been one of the better quarterbacks over the past few weeks. He actually snapped a six-game streak of multiple passing touchdowns playing against San Fran last week. But now a much better matchup in New York against the Giants. He's really, him and Marshawn Lynch are the only guys you can count on in this offense. Now, Andre Brown, I kind of had this predicament in my leagues as well. I mean, Andre Brown, he's been the top 15 guy for the past few weeks, getting the majority of the carries. You know, Brandon Jacobs, like, somewhat of a threat to steal his goal-line carries out for the year now. He's clearly the guy, but against the Seattle defense, you really can't. You can't rely. I wouldn't feel safe about playing Andre Brown this week. I'm trying to think of Danny Woodhead or Andre Brown. Who would you rather start this week?
PPR.
Yeah.
Danny Woodhead.
Yeah. It's just strictly matchup, and it's just tough for Brown.
Andre Brown's the only person on the Giants I'd even consider starting this week.
I'm trying to see Andre Brown. You're going to hold on to him. He's got two great matchups the next 2 weeks at Detroit. Actually, it's been a pretty good run defense, but still, they do allow a lot of yards, and then Washington the following week. So,
how are they on run defense last week?
Yeah, conditions, buddy. Conditions.
Yeah.
Another reason why I miserably lost my game, but obviously that doesn't count. I mean, you can't assume there's going to be a snowstorm in any other game for the rest of the year. As far as the Giants receivers, like we mentioned, it's every week, just a bigger number. Victor Cruz hasn't scored in 9 straight. Nick's in 16 straight now. But Nick's worth mentioning, did have a season best, 135 yards on 5 catches. So
yeah, one was a bomb Hail Mary at the end of the half to try to score. But I want to – in New York, it's supposed to be very cold against a really, really – probably the best secondary in the league and a really good pass rush. I wouldn't start any of the Giants wide receivers or Brandon Myers.
No, especially Nick's. I mean – there's a lot of teams that are going to...
I want to start Cruz. I don't think Cruz should be a top 20 wide receiver.
There can't be many options you're going to have, though. Would you rather start...
I don't think he's a top 20 wide receiver, so hopefully if you have a balanced team, you have a better option on the bench.
Would you rather start Michael Crabtree or Victor Cruz?
Michael Crabtree.
So I'm guessing Rod Streeter over Cruz?
Yeah.
I mean,
Bradley Cooper over Cruz, like, yeah.
Let's see how far you're going to go here.
This guy has one double-digit...
Dwayne Bowe or Victor Cruz?
Dwayne Bowe.
Ooh, Kenny Stills or Victor Cruz?
Oh, Victor Cruz. All right. Let's not be ridiculous, but...
And we're going into, like...
Dwayne Bowe's been good lately.
He's had the touchdowns, but where are we on Dwayne Bowe? They're not
he's got a good matchup,
to
too, though. He's got Oakland.
He still hasn't gotten over 70 yards, though.
Yeah, but he's got Oakland.
Yeah, I suppose. All right.
I mean, Eli's usually not good at home late in the season anyway, and now you're facing probably the best... pass defense in the league.
And they're not, I mean, their backs are, I think they're mathematically eliminated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not even like they have to win, where that's where Eli especially and the rest of the team plays their best. So.
And plus, I think they're going to try to pound the ball. I think that's the only way that they can keep this game close, because if Eli starts slinging it around, it's only a matter of time before he starts throwing picks.
One more. Tyquan Underwood or Victor Cruz?
Victor Cruz.
Ooh. All right. I only mentioned because we have the Buccaneers up next. Playing against the 49ers. Frank Gore rushed for 110 yards against Seattle, which, you know, it's, I guess bodes well for Andre Brown if you are forced to start him. They are human a little bit, but they usually rest Frank Gore at the end of the year. That's why I definitely wouldn't count on Frank Gore. Buccaneers run defense is pretty good as well. So we do have, with the 49ers improved passing game, Michael Crabtree, he did play a full slate of snaps in week 14. Only caught 4 of his 8 targets for 40 yards, but obviously they're going to bring him back slowly. It's good to see that he did play the entire game, didn't have a setback. So
I think I might start him this week on my team.
Over who?
Riley Cooper.
I mean, I've never been a fan of Riley Cooper, really. Obviously he's a big boom or bust guy.
Yeah, but against Minnesota, he could be big-time boom. That's my only thing.
Yeah, you just got. You would assume they would put Revis on Bolden before Michael
right.
Crabtree.
Well, let's put it this way: if they had similar matchups, I would definitely start Crabtree. But Riley Cooper's matchup might force me to start him.
I don't have the exact numbers on it, but I know I read something similar to what I'm about to say. Is that whereas, I mean, Nate Burleson is the perfect example. He has 2 catches in the past 2 weeks, and the week before that, he went 7 for 78 as a number two receiver against the Buccaneers. The number two receiver against the Buccaneers has been, I believe, it's definitely top three.
Right.
Where
the only problem is
number two receiver.
The only problem is kind of like the Bears with Joe Hayden situation. We're not 100% sure if Crabtree or Bolden is number two.
Yeah, you would have to assume. Like I said,
I would assume that Revis is going to line up against Bolden, but we don't know that for sure.
He might also swap back and forth. Exactly.
Right.
Vernon wouldn't be the worst idea to put him on Vernon Davis either. Now, has 9 touchdowns in his last 10 games. Also scored against Seattle, which is a tough place for tight ends to score. So, you know, obviously Vernon Davis might be a top 5 tight end at this point.
It definitely is.
Yeah, but the emergence.
He's been top 5 tight end all year. Yeah.
What's that?
Been a top 5 tight end all year.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Jordan Cameron, I guess he slightly brings his name back into the conversation, but still. For Tampa Bay, Mike Glennon, not someone you want to play this week. No quarterback's done for multiple touchdowns against the Bucs in 6 straight. Bobby Rainey, you mentioned it before, 127 yards and a touchdown, 22 carries against the Bills. But a much tougher matchup here. Really, realistically, I mean, Bobby Rainey might be a guy you're starting. Would you rather start Bobby Rainey or Andre Brown?
I think Rainey.
Yeah, it's close enough. I would go Rainey just because
that's really close.
Yeah, slightly better matchup. I mean, you can run on the Bucs. They've been good against the run, but still, you'd assume that
Bobby Rainey's running against the 49ers, not the Bucs. So that's a problem.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, against 49ers. Yeah, I mixed them up when I was talking about Mike Glennon too, actually. So, yeah, exactly. I'd rather go Rainey over Brown too, just because I think he's obviously going to get the majority of the carries. You would think. Then again, I guess Seattle's going to blow out the Giants, too. Either way, try to find a better option. Eagles at Vikings. Nick Foles throws his first interception of the year, but did manage a throwing and a rushing touchdown. So, under those conditions, I'm sure everyone saw the highlights. The complete snowstorm. The first half was just an absolute joke. It was only they managed to score 8 points total in the first half, and that's where Nick Foles did throw his interception. So, he did have negative points in the first half. Then when it cleared up a little bit, he salvaged a pretty decent fantasy game, and now he has a much better matchup against the Vikings. You brought it up already, Sean McCoy, an unbelievable game, 29 carries for 279 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was just all the conditions at that point. They really.
You were happy with LeSean McCoy's performance, correct?
Listen, I don't care as much about what LeSean McCoy did. It was pretty. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is a great player, but without this game, before this game, the Lions were the number one rushing defense in the NFL. So you have to assume that they're number two. You have to assume that the conditions had something to do with it. Their defensive line was just, I mean, they just fell victim to the slippery field. So what are you going to do about it? For DeSean Jackson, you would think it's a decent matchup here. Same with him and Riley Cooper, but DeSean Jackson, it's surprisingly the Vikings have held, for number one receivers, they've held them to a total of 114 yards in the past 3 games. And it's pretty good receivers in Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall, and Torrey Smith. So,
yeah, I think it's a little skewed, though. I mean, Marshall definitely is a number one receiver, but Jordy Nelson has not been the same receiver since Rodgers went down. And Torrey Smith can be a boom or bust kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
technically, yes, they're all number one wide receivers, but it's like, you know, it's like the Giants when they're on that 5-game winning streak or 4-game winning streak. Like, they played the worst 4 quarterbacks in the league, and they won all 4 games. Big surprise.
Riley Cooper led the Eagles with 74 yards, but hasn't scored in 3 straight. And like we said, he's kind of a boomer bust guy.
I mean, he's due.
Possibly. It's not like Riley Cooper's had the greatest you know, history of production. So definitely not someone I would rely on. This is I would feel much better starting McCoy than anyone from the receiving corps. For the Vikings, the biggest injury of the week, Adrian Peterson, foot injury. It doesn't look like he's going to play, but you never know with Adrian Peterson. He's out of his walking boot now, so Montrez situation, you have to start him, obviously, in the fantasy playoffs if he does play. But if not, which is the more likely scenario, Toby Gearhart, who had 89 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries against a pretty good Baltimore defense last week in relief of Adrian Peterson. He did tweak his hamstring. He's much more likely to play, and he's someone he needs to be picked up in all leagues, especially for Adrian Peterson owners. And the big thing here is that he is a free agent in most leagues. He's kind of one of those guys where, you know, who could, you know, just break out, just win your fantasy playoff game. I actually picked him up in a few leagues, and it's a good matchup here against the Eagles defense, who've been playing a little bit better, but you still expect a high scoring game between these two teams. Gearhart, I feel safer. So assuming Gearhart plays and Peterson's out, I mean, I think you would agree with me that I'd rather start him over Bobby Rainey or Andre Brown, who we pretty much considered even at this point.
I would say like Gearhart's just outside of the top 10 or 12, and Andre Brown and Bobby Rainey are in like that 16 to 18 range.
You know, he's pretty much going to get every carry, almost every touch of the ball, if he is a starting running back, and he's been pretty good in relief of Peterson. It's a tough guy to follow up, but he's done a really good job. And this is a Philly defense that's given up a total of 811 yards and 4 touchdowns to running backs in the last 5 weeks. So the situation's there for, you know, it's there for the taking if Gearhart's able to play. Just figured I'd throw this in there. Cordarrelle Patterson, career best, 141 yards receiving and a touchdown in week 14. Not someone you want to start in the fantasy playoffs, but
in a free keeper league, if he's a free agent, he's definitely worth someone picking up.
Yeah, it's definitely a guy you want to stash away. Before we move on, Monday Morning Hangover, 760-283-0846 if you want to call in. Redskins at Falcons. Kirk Cousins, named the starter now. What even happened? I don't even know. It's actually on TV now. So did they even say RG3 is hurt, or they're shutting down to rest him for the rest of the year?
They're basically saying not that he's hurt, but that he's not 100%. And, you know, while they didn't come out and say it, because no NFL team will ever say this, but basically what they're saying is they're 3-10. There's no point of risking further injury.
All right. So anyway, I mean, well, obviously there's the...
Plus Shanahan is probably going to get fired, and he just wants to stick it to Daniel Snyder.
I mean, they can also see what they have in Cousins. And oddly enough, I picked him up in one league. I'm in two quarterback league. I'm probably starting Kirk Cousins this week, and I'm actually pretty excited about it. Because every quarterback besides Matt Flynn this season has thrown for multiple touchdowns against Atlanta. They're awful. This is a phenomenal matchup, and you wouldn't feel good about starting Cousins in any other matchup. Pretty much besides Atlanta, maybe Dallas, maybe Chicago, but you have to feel confident here. Their offense is pretty healthy. I mean, even Alfred Morris, who's still been fairly consistent, but he hasn't been great. You gotta like the
terrible
matchup.
Terrible lately.
Yeah, but you gotta like the matchup in this offense for all these guys.
I'm starting him over Bobby Rainey in my league
because I'm guessing just because they're playing Atlanta.
Yeah,
right. Not that he's been better than Bobby Rainey, which he hasn't, but. You know, all these guys, it's actually, we had conflicting news, but Jordan Reed, there's reports that he's going to be out for the season. So get Jordan Reed out of your lineup. There's a few guys you could pick. Actually, you know, who I love as a pickup, as a replacement tight end, Dennis Pitta. We'll talk more about him later. Also a great matchup against Detroit this week, but he's someone who needs to be owned. You know, he's already, after his first game back, potentially a tight end one. It's a nice little replacement for Jordan Reed. For the Falcons.
Or Gronk,
yeah, of course. We'll talk about him next, actually. Roddy White led the Falcons in receiving for the second straight week. So maybe he looks like he might be back. Still, of course, you know, never been a huge red zone threat. Definitely a better player in PPR. Caught 8 of his 10 targets for 74 yards.
I would feel very confident about starting Roddy White this week.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
He's back. You know, it's a good matchup. I think he's back enough where you can feel safe starting him. I like starting right away.
And his number two now, Harry Douglas. It was a nice run while it lasted, but you clearly, I mean, we talked about this last week. We didn't know whether to start Roddy White or Harry Douglas, but now I don't think it's even close. I think Roddy White completely took over, and it's a pretty decent matchup for both of them. So, Patriots at Dolphins. We just said it. Heartbreaking news for owners. Rob Gronkowski out for the year. You know what this does. This seals Jimmy Graham as the number one tight end, not only for the remainder of the season, but just for the course of the year in general. But more importantly, how does this – I think this affects the rest of the offense, the rest of the Patriots offense, specifically, I guess, Tom Brady is hurt the most. It might help everyone else.
Well, let's remember, when Gronk was out earlier this year, you know, so was Amendola a lot of the time, and so was Shane Vereen. So, you know, everybody looks how, you know, how when Gronk came back, Brady was so much better. But everybody overlooks the fact that he also got Amendola and Vereen back. So I don't think Brady's going to go back to that guy that, what, he put up one top 12 game without Gronk?
Was it top 12? Yeah, I think it was top 12.
Yeah, and, like, I just, you know, look, I mean, listen to this stat about Vereen. He has a touchdown in each of his last two games, and Vereen has 40 catches and 373 yards in receiving, obviously, in five games this year. That's eight catches and just below 80 yards per game. That's eight catches and about 75 yards per game in five games as a running back. But whatever he gets rushing is, first of all, obviously he's a huge weapon in the passing game, which is going to help Brady. And whatever he gets rushing is just gravy on top because you're starting him for his receiving abilities. Like I said, Amendola and Edelman, a lot of people think they're similar. I don't think, you know, Amendola works a slot. Edelman's big enough to go outside. So, you know, Brady still has a decent amount of weapons at his disposal. I don't think this is going to set Brady back the way some people think it is.
It obviously doesn't help.
No, of course it doesn't help.
But I think this helps Shane. You know what? Vereen's been good enough as it is. It's probably going to help Edelman the most.
Well, Gronk was averaging about 10 targets a game. Those targets have to go somewhere. So,
yeah,
and if they're not going to go to the backup, you know, whoever the tight end, I don't even know who it is.
Michael Humanyala or whatever the hell his name is. Vereen, I mean, he's been targeted 17 times and caught 12 of them for 153 last game. You really can't give him much more than that. I mean, that's as good as it gets. So someone else has to take it, and Amendola hasn't been great. I think Edelman's the one who benefits the most from this, and definitely a guy you'd be willing to start in PPR. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, as is, Edelman has been targeted at least 9 times in 3 straight games. You know, if that number bumps up to 11 or 12, you're talking, you know, if Edelman gets 3 more targets a game, you're talking about probably 2 more catches a game. So, you know, that's that many more points a game.
Now they pretty much have no running game anymore. Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount both took 8 carries in week 14. Neither one of them reached 45 yards, and you're not starting either one of these guys. The only people you're thinking about starting with Gronk out is, you know, start Brady, Edelman, and who are we talking about? Vereen, of course.
Amendola?
Not even. I mean, I think you could trust Edelman because Amendola really hasn't. He hasn't even been that good while he's been healthy. He caught that game-winning touchdown on the last drive. So what happens if they don't get the onside kick? He doesn't even get that touchdown, and he has a pretty miserable game. So obviously, I mean, that stuff matters in fantasy, but it is what it is. Daniel Thomas, I mean, we were looking at last week. I thought he was out for the year. And all of a sudden, he makes a surprise comeback in week 14. And not only did he make a comeback, 16 carries, 105 yards, and a touchdown against the Steelers. And Lamar Miller is now the running back who's hurt. And even before he got hurt, only 6 carries at 20 yards, left with a concussion. If he can't play this week, then, I mean, this isn't – you can run on the Patriots. This is kind of another situation. If you missed out on Jordan Tomlin or you missed out on Toby Gearhart, you know, say you had Adrian Peterson, whatever it is, you lose a running back for the fantasy playoffs. Daniel Thomas is not a bad stash. He's not a bad pickup. He could potentially I put him in running back two category if Lamar Miller's out for this week.
Only if he's out, though.
Only if he's out, yeah, of course. Texans at Colts. Case Keenum named the starter for the rest of the way, despite what happened last week where they put in Matt Schaub as, towards the end of the game. Schaub didn't look terrible, but their season's a lost cause at this point. Ben Tate, only a total 54 yards rushing in weeks, combined last week with week 12 where they played the Jaguars both weeks. You obviously love the matchup. You expect a lot more from him. In his defense, not all his fault because, I mean, I'm sure all of us watched the game last Thursday night. What was the Texans? They threw the ball 30-something times in a row, like 34 times in a row. And Tate is not the greatest out of the backfield. They just abandoned the run completely. I mean, to be fair, it was kind of working for a little bit. They did make a little bit of a comeback. But I do like Ben Tate a little bit more.
It was a really good matchup. The Colts defense has been so bad lately.
They've been really bad. I don't know how much you could trust him, though. He's still going to get the majority of the carry. He just hasn't looked great. He really hasn't. I guess, to be fair, I haven't watched much of him either, and last week wasn't the greatest example of what this guy's capable of. But I think they're going to be more of a throwing team. Andre Johnson, total of 21 catches for 276 yards in the last two games. He's really the only guy. I mean, you might be starting Ben Tate. He's a low running back too. But Andre Johnson's the only guy I really feel confident in starting the rest for this week at least.
Andre Johnson, now leads the league in catches.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Quite literally. Well, I mean, Texas has been behind all the time, so.
No, he's had a very good year.
Yeah.
I mean, just as usual, the touchdowns aren't always there, but he stayed healthy, and I guess that's the biggest thing with him. So, a good year for him, especially with losing Schaub as the quarterback. So, was Keenum the backup? Did they go to someone else first? They have someone in between? I feel like we're missing someone.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I went right from Schaub to Keenum.
All right, so, I mean, doing it with two quarterbacks. So.
Did it then?
Yeah, look up the depth chart while I move on to the Colts. Andrew Luck, I mean, the whole Colts offense is...
Are you thinking of DJ Yates? I don't think he ever played this year, though.
Just look it up, whatever. Kinda
okay, I'm pretty sure that's who their backup was, but I think he got hurt before Schaub did.
I'm just kind of curious now. See if anyone else threw a pass to this team. Andrew Luck, this whole offense has been slumping, and they continued to slump in the first half last week against the Bengals, but Andrew Luck he won me a game. Four second half touchdowns against the Bengals. Donald Brown, he continued to slump, but there's a good matchup this week against the Texans, and this is actually his first good matchup as technically the starter. Since replacing Trent Richardson as the guy who's officially going to get more touches and actually start the game, Derek Rogers led the Colts with 9 targets in Week 14, caught 6 of them for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. One of them completely fluky, just an absolute lack of tackling by the Bengals. This and T.Y. Hilton's been struggling mightily. He had a huge game against the Texans. I think it was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. So clearly, T.Y. Hilton's the number one receiver here and the guy you want to own. I think Rodgers is nothing more than just a pickup this week. You can't trust him. See if he does this again. I mean, he's definitely talented. He did go undrafted for off-the-field issues, but it wasn't because of his talent that he wasn't chosen. But I still feel much better starting T.Y. and definitely a better matchup for him here. T, as usual, save a little time with this. Whoever the Jets play. Jets at Panthers. Cam Newton, as you talked about it before, so we kind of touched up on it. Jets defense will allow multiple passing scores in 5 of the last 6 games, so they're not as good as everyone expects. Steve Smith held under 70 yards again. I legit feel more comfortable starting Brandon LaFell and even Ted Ginn. Steve Smith, he's just not done much this year at all. Hasn't been consistent at all. And Jets have given up 11 touchdowns to number 2 receivers, mostly NFL. So you could, I guess, if you had to choose, I would say that Brandon LaFell's the number 2. But Ted Ginn on any given Sunday can obviously compete for that job. And
I have a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you think the Panthers' defense he's the equivalent of a number two running back this week.
I mean, it's obviously a fantastic matchup, and for someone who likes...
Like, I seriously think they'd be a top 20 running back.
It differs a lot in leagues, the scoring system, and how much points defenses get. So, in a league where
they get like 40 points a game.
Yeah, there's some leagues... I mean, obviously, every position differs, but I think defense is the biggest discrepancy between how many points you get and how many points you earn and gain from certain statistics. So, yeah, obviously, there's clearly, I mean, I guess this happens every week, though, that they're going to beat out some running back twos because they're on a ton of good ones and there's a lot of injuries. Yeah, you gotta love them in this offense. The Jets aren't just they're not trying to just run ground and pound the ball the entire time. They're turning the ball over a lot. So, whatever, let's just agree with the fact. I think it's safe to say that the Panthers' defense is by far the number one start this week. As if you own them, like you're benching them anyway. But
yeah, kind of close.
Said, try and save some time on the Jets, as we do every week. Chiefs at Raiders. Jamaal Charles. Now, running back had 316 total yards and 3 scores the last 2 weeks against Oakland. And Jamaal Charles, he isn't just any running back, so you got to be excited if you have Jamaal Charles, and chances are, if you made it to the playoffs, he is the main reason why. You also touched up on it, too. Dwayne Bowe now scored in 3 of his last 4 games.
Yeah, he's been getting the end zone.
Yeah, he's getting looks. That's important. That's kind of – which is, I guess – But
no, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know his targets have been way up too.
Yeah,
his targets have been in the 8, 9, 10 range.
Yeah, despite these targets, he still hasn't had a 70-yard game all year. He's kind of in the same category as Steve Smith in that regard. But he's someone, if you had Wes Welker, which you kind of, I don't think Dwayne Bowe was rosterable. I think you could have found better options by now. But if you had Welker and you were relying on Welker, and it's possible that Dwayne Bowe is a fourth receiver, and he's someone I wouldn't mind starting this week against the Chiefs. For the Raiders, Marshall Reese looked really good last week against a pretty, very good actually Jets run defense. Rashad Jennings will be back, they said today, and running backs have actually rushed for over 100 yards in 4 of the last 5 games against the Chiefs, so it's not a terrible play for Jennings. He'll clearly be the number one guy here again, despite what Marcel Reese did. Rashad Jennings, and the Kansas City defense hasn't been as good, so I feel like you use this analogy for this comparison very often, but who would you rather start, Rashad Jennings or Danny Woodhead?
I think Danny Woodhead. Just because we don't know is Rashad Jennings going to be 100%.
It was a concussion, so if he does play, you have to assume he's 100%.
Is he going to get 100% of the work after Marcelo Reese's performance last week? Reese deserves... first of all, Reese was very good last year, and he kind of just fell behind McFadden and Jennings this year. But Reese has had big games before. I can kind of see like a 70-30 split. If Jennings is healthy enough to go. But, to answer your original question, I think I'm going to go with Danny Woodhead. Plus, the Chargers are going to be throwing tonight. Danny Woodhead is a big part of their passing game.
I thought you were going to go into Rashad Jennings, going back to Danny Woodhead. That's not why I brought him up. I don't want to go back to him. He's actually, if you do own Jennings, he's worth holding just because he has a good matchup for his 2 good games the rest of the year, San Diego and Denver. So even if you're not going to use him this week, if he does stay healthy, McFadden is just not going to come back into the mix. He's probably gone after the season.
Yeah, McFadden's done as a Raider.
And we said Chiefs defense hasn't been good for the rest for the past, 5 weeks with their injuries and such.
Well, no, they're unbelievable last week.
Yeah, they were great last week. And for the teams that did hold on to them, congratulations.
To be fair, I think they had like a 4-week slump, and 2 of them were the Broncos. They got torched by the Chargers.
They had bad matchups, and that's why a lot of people
considered
they picked someone else up, and when they saw they had bad games, maybe just flat out dropped them. So now's the time to pick them up if they're still available, which is unlikely, but you never know.
They're also getting a little healthier. They lost Justin Houston and Tom Bahaly. I believe Houston will play this week, so the pass rush will be better.
Yeah, and it's just a phenomenal matchup against the Raiders and Matt McGloin. So
yeah.
I want to mention Rod Streeter had his best game of the year, 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown against the Jets. He's the number one guy here. I haven't even looked. Is Denarius Moore playing? Do we know this?
I don't think so.
Isn't back.
Andre Holmes is rosterable.
Yeah. After his good week, he really didn't do much here, so it's not someone you want to start.
His numbers weren't great, but he averaged over 20 yards a catch. So,
All right. Well, here we go. Denarius Moore. He practiced yesterday and today. So he was limited, but it looks like he'll probably play, which completely just wipes out any value that Holmes theoretically had. So we'll see. All right. Anyway, moving on. Saints at Rams. Pierre Thomas now. Held below 30 yards in each of his last two games. He's pretty much come back to earth. Rams, decent matchup here. Not someone you want to rely on. Rest of the season, Sproles or Pierre Thomas in the PPR?
I don't know. They've both been pretty bad lately.
That's what I'm asking.
I'll go Thomas.
Equally bad. I would go Sproles. I like his upside a little bit more. Pierre Thomas,
I'll go Sproles just because I'm playing against him in the semifinals this week.
Damn it. All right, then I'll go Thomas.
He's probably just going to go off.
Just a different. But anyway, it's not the best matchup for either one of them. Pierre Thomas is still getting more of the snaps. So maybe it's not a bad call to go with Thomas over him just because he's getting more touches. The Rams, that running back has scored 5 straight games. And for a total of 8 touchdowns over that span. So it's pretty promising. Yeah, if you had to start one of them, go Pierre Thomas. Now, Marcus Colson had another big week last week. So he's pretty he's actually very streaky. And the good thing, all 5 of Marcus Colson's touchdowns this season have come indoors. And St. Louis allows a league-high 11 touchdowns to number one wide receivers. So both of those are really promising for Marcus Colson, who I guess you have to consider the number one guy in New Orleans. And after a big week, I feel pretty good about starting him this week against St. Louis. Now, what do we do with Zach Stacy? I feel like he's kind of in the same category as Andre Brown, or close to. Just hasn't been good at all in his last few, where he started, he was off to a tear in his first thing. He looks a little injury-prone. He's had 2 separate injuries over the past few weeks. Going against the Saints, their defense is okay. Definitely not bad. So it's another one of those. Andre Brown or Zach Stacy?
Stacy.
Okay, so I'm guessing the same thing with Bobby Rainey.
Stacy.
Would you rather Donald Brown against the Texans or Zach Stacy?
Brown.
All right, yeah, Brown obviously has a much better matchup. You never know with Stacy now. It's gotten to the point where he can get hurt any time and leave the game early. I still think he's an okay play. He's going to get the touches. He's going to get pretty much every carry. So,
are you worried about Jimmy at all this week?
No.
The Rams have been tough against.
Never worried about Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
He's still he's definitely the number one guy. I mean, you're starting him no matter what, so.
Oh, obviously. I mean, I'm just saying the Rams are giving up the third least amount of points to tight ends.
That's fine. I mean, Jimmy Graham isn't any tight end. I mean, we could look at who is it?
Tua Vernon Davis been against the Rams.
Let's look at the Rams. The past few weeks, Arizona, Rob Houser, Chicago, Martellus Bennett. I mean, they played. I mean, I can go down the list. They've actually played pretty decent tight ends, but. Maybe that's because they're allowing a league high touchdowns to number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
So they haven't been using the tight ends as much.
Well, that's going to be anyway, right? He's number one wide receiver, basically.
Pretty much. It might as well be. Anyway, you look that up. I'll move on to the Cardinals-Titans game. Sharp Mendenhall now scored in 3 of his last 4 and at least 17 carries in each of his last 2 games.
Right, for what? Before we go on, Davis has gone off 5 for 82 on a touchdown and 4 for 18 on a touchdown. So he's gotten in both times, but he hasn't really gone off at all.
Whatever. I mean, I'll take that from Jimmy Graham. That should be fine.
Not four for 18 in touchdown. I'll take the 5.
No, definitely not. But whatever.
Jimmy Graham's going to catch more than 5 passes.
Jimmy Graham's better than Vernon Davis. So, yeah, well, it's – I like comparing that just to see what other tight ends are against them. But, like I said, not even really worth talking about. You're starting Jimmy Graham. Mendon Hall, while he did have – he did score in 3 of his last 4 games, Ellington missed 2 of them, I believe. 2 of the last 3 Ellington missed?
No, I think he left one early and missed one.
Okay,
I think he only missed one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way you're thinking about starting Mendenhall, really, and even about starting Ellington.
Yeah.
I mean, they both had decent games last week and not a bad matchup here, but you just don't want to start any of these running backs. Michael Floyd, game-time decision. He was limited in practice today. But just monitor that. I feel like he's kind of been questionable, limited all season long, and then he comes back for the weekend, and he's quietly been a wide receiver too this year, especially in PPR. So just make sure he's going to play before you go into your games on Sunday. Now, Chris Johnson, now he shared snaps 31-16 with Sean Green. So while Johnson's still the main guy here, Green, I mean, he did take almost half the carries, and Johnson. It's similar production, even though Johnson outsnapped him by almost 2-1. So, and Sean Green's going to take the goal line carries as well. He had 2 of the touchdowns. So when he wasn't healthy, you can kind of count on Chris Johnson to get a few more touches and a few more opportunities in the red zone, but not so much anymore. And this is Cardinals' defense is much improved. So you got to figure, especially this week, against this offense, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been struggling. I like the Cardinals as a top 5 defensive play. That's another defense that could be available, maybe someone you could think about starting this week. And Delanie Walker, expected back, has a touchdown in 2 of his last 3 games. This is the one spot where Arizona really struggles, is against tight ends for the last in the league, actually, or however you want to look at it, whatever, worst in the league at covering the tight end position. So Delanie Walker, not a bad play, and he's supposed to come back. If he does come back, decent fill-in, as we said before, for Gronk or who was the other guy we were talking about, the other injured tight end? Jordan Reed.
Okay. Justin Hunter was 100 yards and a touchdown in 2 of the last 3 games, too.
Sort of taken away from
Kendall
Wright.
He's a young guy that might be, finally starting to get it. So, definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Packers at Cowboys. If anyone from the Pack, if any of these wide receivers are going to be saved, these Packers wide receivers, and it looks like Matt Flynn's going to start again, you're still holding on to Rodgers, only because it looks like they're holding out hope they're going to try to get him to play at some point the rest of the season. If anything's going to help, you'd almost rather, if you had, say you were in a situation where the Packers were playing a good defense, if the Packers were going against Seattle, would you rather have, if you own one of these wide receivers, would you rather have Rodgers against the Seahawks or Matt Flynn against the Cowboys?
Rodgers against the Seahawks, not even close.
Really? Yeah. I mean, if anything makes that even remotely close, it's the fact that Dallas has just been so bad. I mean, just look how easily and effortlessly.
Running backs have been averaging 32 fantasy points a game against them for the last 6 games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're horrendous. I mean, it's shown that he is back, and it looks like he's going to play again, which helps them a little bit, especially in the running game, but just.
Yeah, Brandon Moss will probably make that not happen last week. But
I just think, Jared Boykin needs to be benched. James Jones the same. You're only starting Jordy Nelson if you have him. You have to find better options off even the waiver
wire. Jordy Nelson, the wide
receiver. Yeah, in this matchup, I'd bump him up to 2. And it's Matt Flynn's 3rd week starting now, so that can can only help him a little. I mean, Dallas is, they allow 313 yards passing and 25 points per game to quarterback, so which is both the most in the NFL. So you have to assume even Matt Flynn, if he puts up half of that,
you said it before, like, he's the only quarterback that's that hasn't passed for multiple scores against the Falcons.
Yeah, but that was, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously been bad, but he also, it's just, like I said, just the more games he starts in and the more reps he gets, the better he's going to be. And this Cowboys defense is just that much worse than even the Atlanta defense. So, but for the Dallas offense, we still have to talk about for fantasy purposes, DeMarco Murray averaging 96 yards rushing and 120 total yards with a touchdown per game in his last four. He's been great. He's been really good. And we talked about it a bunch of times. This is one of those guys who's been injured prone at the beginning of the year. It dropped their stock a little bit. And for the most part, I think he missed two games, but he's been that good. Well, we knew he was capable of this, especially in this offense. But he was able to stay healthy for the majority of the season, and it's really paid off. And now you got to love this matchup against the Packers as well. You know, just like on the other side of the ball, you love starting DeMarco Murray this week. And lastly, we have Dez Bryant.
We actually have a caller. We can get to that first before we get to the
Let me just finish this up here. Just want to mention Dez Bryant held below 65 yards in four of his last five games. Another guy you're starting, but yeah, it looks better for the Packers. But yeah, let's take our caller.
Okay, we have. Hold on 1 second. We have Pat from Wayne on the line.
Hello, guys. Am I on?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, guys. You know, usually I hear the whole entire show, but today I was busy snow plowing, so I didn't have much time to hear. So if this is a little bit off topic, I apologize. But, you know, once again, I didn't make the playoffs, and I'm in a keeper league, and I have a question about who I should keep. Problem is the deadline is February 1st to keep a guy, so you got to pick it really early. My two options are Andre Brown and Riley Cooper. Riley Cooper was in the 15th round, Andre Brown in the 10th. What do you guys think?
Riley Cooper has had a good year. I think with the uncertainty of the Giants' running back position, Andre Brown is the main guy there, and even though he has injury concerns, I think you have to keep Andre Brown.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to give my opinion on this. I would go with Riley Cooper for a variety of reasons. I think this is, the third year in a row now that Andre Brown gotten hurt, and he's not going to stay healthy all year. Not sure what's wrong with David Wilson, but I mean, then again, his career could be over, or he could be healthy by the start of next season. So if he does come back, there's so much uncertainty there. This Giants offensive line, we don't know if it's going to improve. It's just not. I think they're going to, whether Wilson comes back or not, they're going to do something to improve this running game. They'll get someone better than Peyton Hillis or Brandon Jacobs. So Brown is probably not going to get all the carries like he is right now. And not just that, it's you're getting Riley Cooper five rounds later. And I think it's pretty safe to say that Nick Foles has secured his job as the quarterback of the future, or at least, you know, the near future for the Eagles, and of course Riley Cooper plays much better when Nick Foles is under center. So I like that pick a lot better, especially for its value five rounds later.
Okay, well, the only question I have with Riley Cooper is, you know, judging by his past indiscretions, and, you know, the deadline's February 1st for the keeper, I'm just a little worried about what's going to happen to him in the off season. Like, can he walk down the street without getting stabbed or anything? I just really worried about his personal life, and I don't want him to affect my fantasy team.
You know what?
That's a valid concern.
Yeah, you know what? I think you'll be okay if he's made it this far. You got to assume. I mean, what venue or event are there more minorities surrounding Riley Cooper than in an NFL football game? So you got to figure if he walks down. Yeah, and if you figure if he walks down the street, he's probably going to be more in his element.
Yeah, I think he just needs to stay away from country concerts. He'll be fine.
Yeah, and Camden, New Jersey, too. I heard that's a dangerous place.
Yeah, it's absolutely. You know, and not only that, it's kind of ironic, actually, that he got into this trouble at a country concert where you would think that, you know, the least amount of minorities would be. So maybe he's better off being in an NFL locker room, wherever it is. At least he stayed out of trouble throughout the majority of his career, given within those situations. But yeah, Pat, I appreciate the call.
Yep.
Thanks for your input. Definitely would take Riley Cooper in the 15th round there. But anyway, let's get moving on. We have the Bengals Steelers Sunday night game. Let's just go over a few stats. AJ Green, 100 yards or a touchdown in 7 of his last 8. Really, the only Bengals player I trust for the rest of the season. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's kind of with Bernard and Ben Jarvis, you know, fall into the same category as a few of the other guys we spoke about. Just not.
I think Bernard is definitely, flex worthy. I mean, he's enough to trust as a flex. He's going to catch 3 or 4 balls a game. He's going to get, he's not Shane Vereen where he's going to get 3 carries. He's going to get enough touches on the ball. You're guaranteed almost 15 touches on the ball for Bernard. So I wouldn't have any problem starting him in a flex in a PPR.
Yeah, not that you have a problem. I guess I'd rather start like Gearhart or Tomlin if NVD is out. So just not someone you want to count on for the Steelers. And surprisingly, Big Ben now 20-plus points in multiple scores in 5 of his last 6 games, including 4 in a row. So you think that the Bengals defense is actually, they've been pretty good and they are pretty good, but now they're without both their starting corners and just gave up 4 touchdowns in the second half to Andrew Luck. So Big Ben, not a terrible start, and especially with a matchup play, he could be available in a lot of leagues. I mean, I kind of like this entire Pittsburgh Steelers offense, where Le'Veon Bell has been as consistent as any running back. Antonio Brown, 100 yards or a touchdown in 5 of his last 6, and even Emmanuel Sanders getting to the mix, scored in each of his last 3. These are all sneaky plays against a defense which is normally pretty good, but you got to like starting these guys going forward. And we move on to the Monday night game. And as I said before, I kind of like this just because it's sort of like last week, the Dallas-Chicago game. There's tons of fantasy implications when it comes to watching on Monday night. And that's clearly, just like for gamblers, there's a reason the bookies week ends on Tuesday. It's because there's so much action on this Monday night game.
Everybody chases their bets.
Right. And, in a matchup like this, Joe Flacco, he had his first 3 touchdown game last week. I mean, it was against Minnesota, but he also has another good matchup here against the Lions. Same with Ray Rice. I mean, we saw and we talked about the Lions' run defense being pretty good, but Rice can also, get some of his production in the passing game, dump offs and stuff like that. So I kind of like. I mean, Rice is a pretty good play here, and you don't like Rice at all?
I haven't liked Rice all year.
Yeah, but he makes use of his good matchups. I'm trying to look.
I don't think the Lions are a good matchup at all.
Just because, you can catch the ball in the backfield, too. You're playing in the dome. It'll be fair weather. Let's see. He's playing New England next week in Cincinnati. I mean, if you're not playing Ray Rice this week, he's droppable. I mean, it's pretty safe to say. He doesn't have the greatest schedule.
He's got a better matchup next week than he does this week.
Yeah, it's not the greatest schedule for the rest of the year. It's the Lions are good at just stopping the run. That's it. And they still allow points to running backs, especially they allow points and touchdowns, and especially against a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, I mean, we'll see. The Lions are favoring this game, so they could easily go ahead. The Ravens fall behind. They won't be running as much. All right, so I guess you don't like Ray Rice over someone. You start Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or Ray Rice?
Nah, it's not Ray Rice over him.
Nah, just seeing how low he's
playing. Ben Jarvis isn't even really like a starter anymore.
He never really was. But Dennis Pitta, we talked about before, targeted 11 times in his return, caught 6 for 48 in a touchdown. But this was only on 39 snaps, so this is his first game back.
Yeah, but I mean, if that proves anything to you, he saw 11 targets on 39 snaps.
And he's only going to get more. That's it. I mean,
and the fact that Joe Flacco really missed him and really trusted him.
Had his best game of the year with Pitta back.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he went out of his way to look for Pitta, so you know that as long as Pitta is able to be on the field, he's going to get work.
Yep. Matthew Stafford had a rough week in the snow, to be kind about it. Lions fumbled seven times this week, this game, seven times in that snowstorm. So obviously a lot of teams lost their playoff games because of this. Reggie Bush, after aggravating his calf injury in pregame warmups, he's been limited this week thus far, and it looks like it's going to be a game time decision. This is kind of tough because it's, of course, a Monday night game. If you do have Joyke Bell, then you really don't have to worry about this. You know, one way or another, if Bush is starting, you're starting Bush. If Bush is out, then all of a sudden Joyke Bell becomes another top 15 play. He did pretty good in the snow last week despite his two lost fumbles, which you can't fully blame him for. But the thing here, I mean, you're really – if you have Reggie Bush, hopefully we know more about this by Saturday. But unless you have Joyke Bell, you're probably going to have to play someone earlier in the week, or, you know, with an earlier matchup, because what are you going to do? You can't go into Monday night in the semifinals and just counting on Reggie Bush to play with no backup plan whatsoever.
You could try looking for Ray Rice at the waiver wire because he should have been dropped weeks ago.
Rice, he still had that good game against Chicago.
Against the worst run defense in the league.
Yeah, he's still on rosters. I'm trying to think about it. I mean, you really don't have a better option, especially against Bernard Pierce isn't even really worth owning. I'd rather start some guy you pick up just in an earlier matchup, like I said.
All right, who would you rather start? Theo Riddick or Ray Rice?
Is that a joke?
Yes.
Or to go Notre Dame Rutgers here? I mean, it's really not even – that's not even close.
Obviously not, but still. I think Reggie Bush is going to play, though, this week.
I think so. If I had a guess, I would say so, too. But it's just, like I said, we'll just monitor it. It's too early in the week. It's only Thursday night. See what happens later on. Hopefully, Jim Schwartz is pretty secluded about his injury reports. So hopefully, he gives us somewhat of a heads up so we know. I mean, he doesn't care that it's a fantasy playoffs. But
he should.
You really should, especially since you should be fired this year. And fantasy is the closest he'll be to running a football team. But anyway, as promised, I'm going to go ahead. We don't have Cons here this week. He's actually at the Rangers game. Whatever. It wasn't the best excuse for skipping work. We don't pay him to go watch hockey games. But either way, we will read off his picks. He did submit them. Submit his picks to us, so let's get it going.
At least the Rangers are losing pretty well.
All right, I'm trying to read the picks off of my phone, actually, because he texted them to me a couple hours ago. He put the Rangers game on. Maybe we'll see Cons on TV. Cons, we hope you're listening for your segment. We have, for the first game, Browns and T, help me out. You only listed the winning team, so let me know who these teams are playing against because I always forget. Browns plus one.
Usually I tune.
Here we go.
That.
Browns plus one against the Bears.
I'll get the rest just go.
The game is in Cleveland, so I think obviously Cleveland plays much better at home. I think I know where Cons is going with this one. Texans plus six.
That's against the
Colts.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Texans in Indianapolis. I guess he's just going to take the six struggling Colts. They looked a little better last week, but got to like the points here. Dolphins plus 2.5.
Yeah, I got them up now. Dolphins plus 2.5 against New England.
That's New England, really? It's kind of a light number. I don't know. I'm guessing the game must be in Miami for this low of a number.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. I disagree with him on this one. Let's see, Rams plus six.
It's Rams, Saints, right? Yeah.
It's
clearly in St. Louis. That's the Rams. They have a pretty underrated defense.
They have a history of playing, well, not history, but last 2 years playing good teams.
I don't know. Maybe this is one of those games. Saints played Sunday night, correct?
Uh-huh.
Saints played Sunday night, and they look really good, and that's where a lot of people are going to put their money because it's on national TV. They
it's also like a typical letdown track game. They played Carolina last week and
right.
Carolina next week.
And look good. Yeah, absolutely. They might be looking forward. That's a huge playoff implication.
I think it's Carolina next week.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. Let's move on to the next one. Titans plus 3.
That would be against
Cardinals.
Yes.
Titans plus 3 at home. Not bad. Cardinals playing better.
West Coast team coming east. Although it's a 4 o'clock game, that doesn't make difference.
Yeah, it's still worth mentioning. They got trouble that far.
Let's see.
Falcons. What? Falcons minus 7? Wow.
No. That's got to be plus 7.
At home against the Redskins? It's really. Are you looking up the spread?
I'm going up the spread, yeah, but really? Falcons should be.
Minus 7.
The Falcons should be minus 7 against Auburn, let alone the Redskins.
Well, Kirk Cousins making his first start. Let's see. Yeah, look this up. I'm kind of curious about this.
Although on this site, there's actual, like an actual betting site. It might be, the line might be off.
Why? What's the, are they waiting?
Well,
I mean,
Cousins.
He's already
got enough today.
Yeah, but he's already named the starter. He's going to come up with anything else. It's arguably, Cousins is arguably better than RG3. It's a lot of the
game. Yeah, Cousins has the line right at least. Jeez. Minus 7.
Okay.
I don't know why you take them, but.
Let's say I'll take the Redskins, yeah. And lastly, Steelers plus 2.5.
I think it's the Bengals.
Yep. Let's see that here in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Yeah. I'm in it.
Yeah, it's a. What, they were a few inches away from what's his name, Antonio Brown taking that house?
Such house.
Yeah. I'm so unfortunate for them, of course, but their season's pretty much over. They have a ton of pride, though. You know they're going to play hard for the remainder of the season.
Especially against a division rival.
All right. So that covers it. That's pretty much it for Con's picks. Again, let me read them off as soon as this incoming call of a number I don't know gets off of my phone.
It's like Con saying that we didn't do a good
job. Actually, it might be Con. Yeah, I think he's pissed at us. Browns plus 1. Texans plus 6, Dolphins plus 2.5, Rams plus 6, Titans plus 3, Falcons minus 7, and Steelers plus 2.5. So that's it. That covers Con's picks. We got everything taken care of. We covered the fantasy aspect. So, and like I said, if you're listening, if you made it this far, you're most likely in the semifinals of your league. So best of luck this weekend. That's all the time we have today. This is Mo for T and Con's, or lack of const. We're the Monday Morning Hangover. Thanks for listening, and best of luck in your games. Take it to the house. We don't play, we take it to the house. M-I-A, take it to the house. It's the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house.